So in this first round, I have not been to the world's biggest ball of paint.
Oh, you haven't?
You haven't.
I know. But Jesse, I know Jesse has.
I was just there a few months ago.
Wow. Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig, and welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that explores the unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture to some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, Josh, we're going to embark on a little March Madness, you like to call it.
Yes.
It's like the basketball kind as well. But this is, we're going to talk about roadside attractions, and Josh, we have a very, very special, unique guest with us too today. So that's
pretty
cool.
Goodness, Craig, I am so excited about this. Mm. It is March, which is the month of basketball tournaments. And one of the things I love most in the world, this is our officially sort of our fourth show on roadside attractions. We had Valerie with us once to talk about the big things. And then we had two episodes with Megan talking about all the amazing roadside attractions in Iowa. So this is kind of like our fourth show talking about roadside attractions.
But Josh, they're roadside attractions. That's what you see when you go on a road trip. That's all about travel. Yes. And as we know, this is a travel podcast that's based on our love of outdoor gaming. So yes.
So we are going to talk about 18, count them, 18 different roadside attractions in a really unique way. And this wasn't going to work. This idea wasn't going to work unless we had somebody else join us, because we're voting on these roadside attractions. The quest is to find the best roadside attraction in America. And if it was just you and I, you know, we would just have disagreements all the way along the way, and we wouldn't be able to figure it out. So we have a guest with us. Mm-hmm. It is Jesse Brown from the Geocaching Podcast. Hey, Jesse.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, you guys.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah, Geocaching Podcast, Jesse. Firstly, mention the GCPC, as we like to call it, and what's your role in it, what do you do, and where can people actually listen to you on a weekly basis?
Sure. I am one of three co-hosts on the Geocaching Podcast, which is a weekly live call-in geocaching related podcast. We record live every Wednesday night. And what is unique about us is our listeners can call in live and join in on the conversations. It's been around since 2008. There have been a few iterations over the years and several hosts. I have been a part of it since 2018 or 2019. So it's every Wednesday night. You can find it at geocachingpodcast.com or on YouTube or Facebook.
That's really cool. And Josh, you and I have both been on the GCPC in some form. You've actually been there in person, I do believe, which I'm pretty jealous about. I have to call in, Josh. I'm one of the ones that calls in just to get on Scott's nerves. But yeah, so.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy. One time when they were recording, I decided to ring their doorbell outside their house and join the podcast live in person. That has happened actually one time. I love your podcast, Jesse. It is the world's only geocaching call-in podcast, and it's been going for a long time. How many years has it been going, Jesse?
It started back in 2008.
Wow.
And it was originally a call-in show. And then over the years, there have been a few different versions. And so a few years ago, we decided to take it back to its roots and figure out how can we have our audience actually call in live. And we figured it out, and it works great. People seem to love it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And the technology you guys use now as well with the calls in, you can hear them. Like it is a call in, it's a phone call, but it's still clear as day, you know, not like the years gone by now, whereby technology has actually grown enough to, you can call it, and you can call from across the world. I used to call in when I was in Australia, Josh. They take international callers too. So there you go.
Yeah, it's awesome. The service that we use, you can do call in via the web. You can do like an internet call. So it's a great service, and it works really well, and I think really adds to the show.
Really cool. Really cool. Anyway, Josh, this particular show, what are we doing? Yes, what is it? Explain a bit more about it. This is your idea. This is your little baby.
It's sort of my idea. It's sort of my idea. Well, first of all, we brought Jesse on because She loves road trips. Mm. And if you love road trips, you've encountered many roadside attractions. And I would guess, Jesse, we asked you this morning. Jesse jumped on. We asked her this morning. She's here same day. Jesse jumped in. I assume, Jesse, you enjoy a good roadside attraction.
I love road trips. I love roadside attractions. And I mean, this is like right up my alley. So I could not be more Perfect. Excited for this show.
Fantastic. All right. So when we decided to do this, we had to define exactly what is a roadside attraction. So I went straight to Wikipedia. And so this is our definition for roadside attraction. Mm-hmm. It is a feature along the side of a road meant to attract tourists. In general, these are places one might stop on the way to somewhere. So on the way to mm-hmm. somewhere else. Sometimes it's not the destination. Sometimes, a lot of times you happen upon them. But let's be honest. As geocachers, these are destinations. but in a general term, it's along the way on a road trip. So we submitted 6 roadside attractions each mm-hmm. for a total of 18. And I have created an 18-team bracket. And I use random.org to seed them. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like not the science of it. And of course, this whole thing is very subjective as far as finding winners. But we seeded them. So I have them seeded 1 to 18. I was going to do 16, but I decided, you know, we have, you know, so we could all get 6 exactly. each. So there's going to be 2 play-in games. Mm-hmm. Okay. And each of these attractions will go head-to-head in competition. Mm-hmm. The person that submitted the attraction will get to explain the attraction, why it's great, make arguments why it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, some of these, I think, in the first round, we'll have to be arguing with ourselves because some of them randomly got seated. But that's fine. That's great. So after the first person kind of makes their case for their roadside attraction, while it's great, then the other two people will discuss as well. And then we will vote. Mm-hmm. And the one that gets 2 votes will move on to the next round.
Fair enough. And you've got the round there. You've got the list there ready to go.
I got the whole list. Yeah. I got the whole bracket. Maybe, I don't know, on our show notes, I could take a picture of this so people could maybe follow along. You could pause right now, follow along. This exciting action. I think there might be buzzer beaters. I think there might be upsets. You know, what if seed 18 wins it all?
Exactly. It's a possibility. It's happened before exciting. In March Madness. The underdog wins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's right. We're not going to go through. We're not going to do the list through either, the whole 18. We're just going to go as we go and see if people know where it is too. Yeah, we'll do that. Shall we, Josh?
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's get into it.
Our play-in games. Mm-hmm. We have seed number 15 versus seed number 18. Seed number 15 is my entry, mm-hmm. and that is the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota versus the world's biggest ball of paint.
Is that yours as well?
Yes, it's mine. right off the bat, I have to make some choices here.
Yeah.
And here's the crazy thing. Oh, this is another thing. Mm-hmm. If you submitted it, it's probably good if you have visited it, but not necessarily.
True.
So in this first round, I have not been to the world's biggest ball of paint.
Oh, you haven't?
You haven't.
I know. But I know Jesse has.
I was just there a few months ago.
Wow.
But I have not been to the Corn Palace, so and I'm planning a trip, and that's on the route. Okay. So I'm super curious to hear what you have to say about this. I saw it today and went, oh, I need to know all about this.
Okay, let's talk about the Corn Palace first.
Okay.
Seed number 15. The Corn Palace is in Mitchell, South Dakota. It is on 990, a main corridor. This is literally roadside attraction. It is on the way to Wall Drug. It is on the way to the Black Hills. This is like a stop. Let's be honest. When you're driving that road to South Dakota to the Black Hills, there's not a lot of stops. And this is one of them. So get this. The Corn Palace was built in 1892. It is so old. And Craig, Jesse, this is a palace. It's a literal castle made out of corn. Like, not made out of corn, but the outside is filled with corn, like murals. It's like folk art.
Oh.
And it's beautiful. And every year, the local college actually it changes every year. So you could visit this every year and it would be different every time. And they have themes. Mm-hmm. So like one year that I went, the theme was like rock and roll, and there was like Elvis on the side and like all the and Little Richard and like all around the building out of like dried corn, like murals. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Like right now it is it's famous South Dakotans. That's mm-hmm. that's what they have right now. So there actually were three corn palaces. So the palace just got bigger and bigger. They just kept making it bigger and bigger. And you can actually go inside the building, and it's a really actually nice basketball arena. And it's listed in the top 10 best places in America for high school basketball.
Hmm.
So get this. How many people visit the Corn Palace every year? 500,000 people.
What?
Wow.
Visit the Corn Palace every year. This is not wow. little. It is a giant building. I would encourage you, I'm going to do it. Pull up pictures. Mm. It is just a sight to be seen. And get this. I can't believe this. Geocaching note. It's not a virtual geocache.
No?
Oh.
Wow.
If you have a virtual credit, you should consider it, because get this also. I went to the Corn Palace website. It has the most high def webcam I've ever seen.
No.
Like if you go to the page, it's literally like 4K right in front of the building.
Yeah.
So you can't hide webcams anymore, but you could maybe make the virtual
a webcam virtual. A
virtual webcam,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's the Corn Palace.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And do you have any other questions about the Corn Palace? I've been there.
So they use it for sporting events. It's like an actual arena.
Yes,
and it's just the outside is decorated in this elaborate way.
Right.
Okay.
It's basketball games, festivals, concerts. It's just a big community building.
Huh.
But do they have?
I was going to say, do they have
like an actual shop, you know, where you can buy corn and buy all the.
Across the street, there is a pretty epic museum.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
A lot. It's interesting. A lot of these places do have museums. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has 500,000 visitors a year.
That's a lot.
They've got to capitalize. And again, a lot of people stop there. Like if you live in Minnesota, a lot of people go to the Black mm-hmm. Hills. You got to stop to the Corn Palace.
Hmm.
I almost put Wall Drug, but I thought this is more quirky. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that might go back on my road trip list then.
There you go. All right. Seed number, that was 15 against number 18, which is the world's biggest ball of paint.
Oh.
And I have not been to this. It's in Alexandria, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was started, get this, the ball of paint was started in 1977. Jesse.
Yeah.
Well, that's the year I was born. It's 47 years old. Yeah, no comment. Sorry. Created by a man named Michael Carmichael and his wife. His wife's painted it 8,000 times herself. And this is my favorite part about it. This is why I want to go first. It is a geocache. Mm-hmm. Jesse, is it a virtual or is there an
There's actual geocache there, a physical cache. It's an ammo can inside the building.
Oh
that's cool.
It's very cool.
But here's what I love about this. It's interactive. You can contribute to the ball of paint and you can yourself can become a world record holder. And you get a certificate mm-hmm. if you do. Like, so if you choose to paint it, you are now the new world record holder.
Yep.
So,
and Jesse, do you have a certificate?
Yes, I have a certificate. I was the record holder for, I don't know how long it took for the next person to go there. Right. It's like till the next day. Yeah, it was fascinating when I was there. I had no idea what to expect, but it's one of those, like, when you're in the area, you have to go do it.
Mm.
You do have to call ahead of time and make an appointment. So we called the guy the day before and said, you know, we're going to be in the area about whatever time tomorrow. He said, okay, no problem. I got you on the books. Mm-hmm. So when we pulled in, he was there waiting for us. And it's in like a shed that he had built because the ball of paint actually outgrew where it was. And so he had this shed built to around put it, in, and it's almost too big for that building. He's actually trying to raise funds to build a new house for it, but inside it's hanging from a scale. And so you can see exactly how much it weighs. He writes on it the number of coats that you mm-hmm. are. he has immaculate records because it's a world record. You have to take immaculate records. So he knows every single person, where they're from, what color they painted, what coat number it was. He said that people have gotten engaged there. People have gotten married there. People come and like try to create their own world records using that. His stories were pretty amazing while we were there. And he said each coat of paint adds about 1 pound. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 8,000 pounds, I want to say, when we were there. It was a lot. Wow. So, and each coat of paint is about the thickness of a dollar bill.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So that's my question, Jesse, was, and you're obviously better at answering this than Josh because you've been there. Does the world record go on the weight or the actual width or circumference?
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe all of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you measure it? By size, by weight, by, you know, all of the above, I guess.
I would think it'd be more than weight because you then get an exact scale as the paint's drying, for instance, rather than, you know, you have to wait till the paint to dry to actually measure it again.
Right.
I'm guessing it's circumference because mm-hmm. we're going to get to other types of balls.
This is true.
Oh, yeah,
this
true.
Is true.
And those are by circumference.
All right, Josh, there we go.
All right, we've got to keep moving.
We've got the first game, and it's already 10 minutes in.
We got ball, ball of paint versus Corn Palace. Mm-hmm. This is really tough because the Corn Palace is iconic. Mm. Like, it's more well-known as a roadside attraction. It is epic. You can visit it multiple times and it will change every time. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of positive attributes. But I'm going to say the fact that the paintball is so interactive mm-hmm. and you get more of a one-on-one experience with the actual creator of it, I'm voting for Ball of Paint.
I'm Ball of Paint.
I'm going to vote for the Ball of Paint.
There we go.
It was an awesome experience.
That was a three-pointer then. So you finished with a three-pointer, Josh. All three of us done. So there you go. Ball of Paint wins that round.
Yes. Ball of Paint is now officially in the tournament. It's going up against the number 2 seed, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about later. All right. Now we're going to go for the low seeds. Okay. I don't know. We might have to move faster and make these multiple shows. I don't know, Craig.
We have to move faster, Josh. Come on.
I'll try not to talk so much. Sorry. I'm a talk.
No, it's Josh. This is great. It's Josh. It's all Josh.
If we have a couple hours, we could make this two shows.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Let's go.
Okay.
Game two.
Number 16 mm-hmm. is the Popeye Trail. Submitted by Jesse against 17, Minnesota's largest ball of twine.
Oh.
Another ball.
And that's yours, Josh, that one, the ball of twine.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Jesse, do you want to go first?
Jesse, you should go first.
Okay. So the Popeye Character Trail is in Chester, Illinois, which is a border town between Illinois and Missouri. Mm-hmm. And this character trail has like taken over the town. They started in 2006 because the creator of Popeye was actually born in Chester, and some of the characters in the comic strip are based on people that he knew in that town.
Oh,
And so the town like embraced it and they said, "What can we do?" And so they started this character trail. Every year they have a Popeye picnic that people go to, and they unveil a new statue. And so these are all over the town. There's dozens of them. Mm-hmm. So they're continuously building and adding on to it. And it's just really fun.
Wow. Do they have like the can of spinach and do they have like serve spinach at these festivals as well?
I don't know. I haven't been to the festival. I've been to the town, but I've not been to the festival. They have like museums and, you know, all kinds of stuff with like old memorabilia and keepsakes, collectibles, that kind of thing. So
I like it.
Yeah, it's
I like
fun. It was really fun.
I had never heard of that one, Josh. There you go.
I'm a big pop culture fan. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I want to go there. I want to dress like Popeye. I want to do it all. But this is kind of local to me. This is close to my heart. Mm-hmm. Seed number 17 is the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. This is in Darwin, Minnesota. We're talking central Minnesota, but towards kind of the west side. It is a 17,000 pound ball of twine.
Wow.
And the key with this is that it was created by one man. It is not the biggest ball of twine in the world, because the biggest ball of twine in the world is in Branson, Missouri. But that one was not created by one person.
No.
That was created sort of for like a Ripley's Believe It or Not. It was created to be an attraction, mm-hmm. where this was like a more natural thing. It was created by Francis Johnson. He made this thing for 29 years. Why he made it? Because his mother taught him not to waste anything. So over the 29-year period, neighbors would come over to this, I think he's a farmer, mm-hmm. and give him twine scraps. And it was in his front yard for years. And then they decided, you know what? We're going to roll this thing downtown to the gazebo. And it is in a piece of glass covered gazebo. Ripley's, Believe It or Not, tried to buy it and they didn't sell out. They're like, you're not taking our twine ball. This is our twine ball. And it is best known because of the Weird Al song, The Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota.
Wow. Huh. Wow.
Do you know this song?
No.
Do you know this song? My gosh. Go to Spotify. Yep. It's hilarious. It's all about a family taking their whole family trip just to go see the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. Of course, there is a museum mm-hmm. there. And here's the sad thing. Francis Johnson, he died of emphysema.
Oh.
And he wasn't a smoker. So they believe that he got emphysema because the twine ball dust.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
The twine ball killed him.
Wow. The love of his life ended up killing him. Wow. There you go.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Are we going to get to the votes?
And can I just say one more thing about this?
Yes, yes.
The mayor of Darwin, Minnesota, mm-hmm. his name is Josh Johnson.
Now we know who Josh is going to vote for. I'm going to say, all right, Jesse, who's?
I'm just going to say it. I'll say first for me, I'm voting twine ball because close to my
Jesse,
heart.
What are you saying?
All right, I got to go for the Popeye character trail. So you're the tiebreaker.
Ooh, I'm Josh. I've heard of the ball of twine, but the thing for me about the ball of twine is, it's the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota, and there's so many other ones around that's built by one person, built by a township, built by this, built by that, heaviest, longest, and thickest. Popeye's got it for me for this one. Oh. Yeah, Popeye's got it for me for this one.
Okay, I accept that.
Yeah.
But I want you to know the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota in Branson was created by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they said the only reason it's bigger, people in Darwin say this, the only reason it's bigger because they didn't wind it as tight, because it weighs way less 13,000 pounds opported 17,000
wow.
So you could argue it is the biggest ball of twine in the world.
Yeah,
but I will accept it. Popeye wins
that one. There you go All right, Josh, don't hold that against me with any of mine. So let's go. Next one
we're gonna go 8 versus 9. Mm-hmm. 8 is The Enchanted Highway, mm-hmm. which is yours, Craig, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Against the Fremont Troll in Seattle, Washington.
Oh.
You go first, Craig.
Okay, Enchanted Highway is located in North Dakota itself. It's a scenic drive along the Highway 94, and you'll eventually come across the world's largest scrap metal sculptures. So again, this is all about the sculptures, very similar to the Popeye sort of stuff as well. But this is talking about a dream landscape. It's got massive man-made sculptures extending 32 miles long.
Wow.
So this isn't just like your roadside attraction where you stop and go. This one here, you appreciate it for 32 miles in length. It's the full route between Regent and Gladstone in North Dakota. It started in 1989 by a local artist hoping, again, like always, driving attention to the town, you know, getting more people through the town itself. Nowadays, it's thousands upon thousands of people every single month. So that's what goes through and sees the town. The newest sculpture itself is Geese in Flight. And it's the world's largest scrap metal sculpture with the actual geese themselves as well. And other famous ones are Grasshoppers in the Field, the Tin Family, and Theodore Roosevelt. So there you go, 32 miles long worth of roadside attractions.
I'm looking at pictures right now. It is beautiful.
Yes.
It's like real art.
Yes. Yeah, real true art.
But let's talk about real art, shall we? Let's talk about the troll under the bridge. That is also art. This is the Fremont Troll in Seattle, Washington, in the Fremont neighborhood, which we've had a show about. Mm-hmm. We've talked about him extensively. I don't have to say much about it. But the troll is 18 feet high, weighs 1,300 pounds. It's made of steel rebarb, wire, concrete. It's crushing a real VW bug, Craig.
I know. Obviously, I've been there. I've been there.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really cool neighborhood. I mean, it's just, you know, like, yeah, you could argue this is a destination, not a roadside attraction, yeah. Right? Here's some fun facts that we didn't talk about. Do you know that they made a chia pet out of the troll? They did. You could buy a chia pet of the troll.
There you go.
It's a movie location. Mm-hmm. It was in the movie 10 Things I Hate About You. Mm-hmm. And get this. I found out this. Did you know the Fremont Troll has a nephew?
What?
Named Bowie? Yeah. The Seattle Kraken? The hockey team?
Yeah.
Their mascot is Bowie, and he's the Fremont Troll's nephew. Wow. He has a nephew.
Wow.
Who knew that?
Well, the only thing I'll say, yes, Josh, so. Geocaching related wise, there is a geocache at yours, but there's one geocache and that's it. There's hundreds along the highway, 32 miles of length. So I'm just saying for the geocaches out there.
I'm just saying, if we're talking about geocaching, you cannot deny that the Fremont Troll is in the neighborhood of geocaching headquarters. People take pilgrimages all over the world to go to this neighborhood to see this troll.
So it's a destination. That's what you're saying.
Well,
see. Anyway, that's it. Of course, I'm going to vote for mine. Josh, who are you voting for?
I'm voting for the Fremont Troll.
Jesse, it's on you.
Ay. This is a really tough one. I've been to the troll, and it is very cool.
Yeah.
And the highway is on my list of places to go through on a road trip that I'm planning for this summer. Mm-hmm. And I've not been there yet.
Jesse, what can you speak to with more knowledge?
or where would you prefer to go now, Jesse? That's what I'm saying.
Right? I think I'm going to have to go with the highway just because there's so much more. It's like one roadside attraction that just keeps on giving.
Exactly. Thank you,
Jesse. That was an 8-9, but I feel like that's an upset.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a pretty close one.
That was close.
Because wait, Craig, yeah. have you been to it? Have you seen it?
What, the Fremont Troll?
No, the Enchanted Highway.
No, of course not. It's North Dakota, Josh. I'm leaving that to my last state.
So I find it funny that all three of us have seen the troll, but nobody's done the Enchanted Highway, and that's now in the second round.
Yeah.
Just an observation. Okay.
But there's a reason behind it.
All right. All right. Let's go 7-10. Mm-hmm. Number 7, Cadillac Ranch.
Oh.
Versus the Karkashkia Dragon.
Okay. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I know. These are all good. No. They're all good.
Jesse.
Whose is the Cadillac Ranch?
Cadillac Ranch is mine.
Jesse's Cadillac Ranch.
Okay.
So the Cadillac Ranch is off of Interstate 40 right outside of Amarillo, Texas. It's an art installation that was made by an eccentric millionaire. It consists of 10 graffiti covered Cadillacs that are half buried nose down in a field. So if you haven't been there, you've seen pictures of this Cadillac Ranch. They're all lined up, all perfectly aligned, same angle. They're all, I think they're all facing west. Mm-hmm. There's like a method to the madness I don't understand. And visitors are encouraged to add graffiti. So people bring their cans of spray paint and they, you know, do their art all over it. And they, throughout, you know, the years, they have done all kinds of promotions and other things with the cars. Like in 2005, they painted them all pink as a tribute to breast cancer survivors. There was another one, a friend of the owner passed away, and so he painted them his favorite colors, and they've done all kinds of cool stuff like that over the years. And they also think that this art installation is inspiration for other art pieces, like the VW Slugbug Ranch, which is right down the street from this. That's the same kind of thing, but with all VW bugs, which was my first car. So that's near and dear to my heart. And of course, there's Carhenge in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Cadillac Ranch.
Josh, you've got this one. You've got the next one. What is it? It's the dragon.
Yes, the Karkashkia Dragon. Karkashkia, I might be pronouncing it incorrect. It's in Vandalia, Illinois.
Yeah, it's Karkashkia.
Kaskaskia. This is your home state.
This is my home
Jesse.
State.
This is going to be, I might sway you here. Have you been to this dragon? Have you even, I know Craig, you have.
Yeah,
yes. You've been to the dragon. Jesse, have you been the dragon?
You know, I honestly don't remember. So I'm assuming that's a no. Oh, I think I would remember it because I've seen pictures of it.
Remember.
Yeah.
This is like a fire breathing dragon,
that's
right?
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's a 35 foot real fire breathing dragon. Another reason I love this thing is that it's interactive. You go into the liquor store or the hardware store, you buy some tokens. They actually used a used car wash, like pay box to put the money in. And when you put the money in, it actually blows fire. There's a knight
that is awesome.
Facing it. There's a knight facing it. Like, amazing photo opportunities. There's a little camp area. And I think the reason, that it's there is that it's also a place that you can buy propane because there's a camping area. It's literally roadside attraction, and it's amazing. And there is, of course, a geocache hidden on the dragon.
Yeah, under his left
this
leg.
This thing,
spoiler, under his left leg.
This thing is so cool. It's probably, you know, if I'm comparing the Cadillac Ranch, this is lesser known. I would say. It's only been around since the 90s. Only the 90s. That was like 30 years ago. But this thing is cool. I just love that it's interactive. It's an amazing photo opportunity. Really cool.
Okay, Jesse, who are you voting for?
I can't believe that I'm about to say this, but I think I have to go with the fire-breathing dragon. That just sounds absolutely amazing. And the fact that it's interactive is that much better.
Josh, who are you voting for?
I'm sticking with the dragon.
And I'm sticking with the dragon as well. I've done the dragon myself, Jesse, as well, when I was there. And the fact is, the fact that you can actually buy tokens and have fire breathe out its mouth, and it breathes over the top of another sculpture, which is a knight in full regale. You know, that's pretty cool. So, yeah.
That is awesome.
Of course, I did Josh's video of that one too, so that's pretty cool too.
You did. It was a great
I did.
Video.
All right, Josh, you've got that one listed down. And next up we have...
All right. We're going to number 4 versus number 13. Number 4 being the Crystal Shrine Grotto in Memphis, Tennessee. And number 13 being Grandfather Cuts Loose the Ponies?
Yes. Yes.
Never heard of that. Okay, I'm excited. These are you two. So, Jesse, you have the grotto, right?
I put the grotto on here. So this is in a cemetery in Memphis, Tennessee, in the Memorial Park Cemetery. It's right across in the cemetery from Isaac Hayes' grave, which is another draw to go to the cemetery. But this grotto is just amazing. It's this really odd concrete cavern that's like psychedelic and artsy and religious and peaceful, but it kind of has like this amusement park feel. It's bizarre. it was crafted in the 1930s by artist Dionicio Rodriguez, who I think he actually worked in the cemetery. And so he dug a cave 60 feet into the hill and then decorated the interior with faux rocks and quartz crystals and this series of biblical scenes and figurines. The crystals glow because the sunlight shines in from the outside. And so the crystals give off this like really eerie glow. And there's this harp music that plays. And it's just this really haunting feel as you walk through this this shrine. And then outside of the cave, there's a grotto area. The water in this is like dyed bright blue. And then there's all these concrete trees that you walk through and under. And it's just bizarre. But peaceful and tranquil and just weird.
Wow. How am I gonna go against that?
Have you been there, Craig?
No.
Have you, Josh?
I have.
You've been there?
Yes, I've been there.
How was my description? Geez. Like, did I nail that or what?
That was a
it's
that was
weird,
a really
right?
good description.
These
like
my poor pony's got no
great.
Hope.
You painted a great picture.
All right, my ponies, Josh, are you ready for my ponies?
All right, Craig, Grandfather Cuts Loose the Ponies. What is
okay,
this?
Okay, this here, I've actually been to this one, and I was this one in 2018 when I drove across the USA looking at all the roadside attractions that I did. And this one itself is located in Washington, And it's in a region, Josh, where there's the horses, the wild horses themselves actually do freely roam. The Grandfather Cuts Loose the Ponies is the name of the monument. That's the full name, Grandfather Cuts Loose the Ponies. And that's exactly what it is. It is these art sculptures. Again, they're metallic and rusted in color itself. They're huge. I'm talking 15 foot high, each one of these. And they stand above on top of a mountainscape. There's 15 of them in total. And yes, it is a virtual geocache. And yes, there's a physical geocache there as well. It was installed in 1990. And it also is apparently, it was to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Washington becoming a state itself as well. So there you go. That's where it is. And you have to actually hike up the hill to get close enough to them, though. It is a bit of a hike. So it's not a terrain one. So you do have to get up a bit of a hill from it. But there's actually a parking lot there itself as well, what you do. And then when you're up at the top of the ponies, the view is just immaculate of the actual full landscape itself. It's just, yeah, it is beautiful, stunning. So I don't know how that's going to go, though, against your grotto, but we'll soon see.
I'm looking at the photos now. You're right.
Yeah.
It is very picturesque.
Yeah, it's, I think it's pretty really spectacular.
Cool. Yes. And they're huge. I think it's really cool
that from the bottom. Yes, from the bottom, it looks like you're looking up at a real set of horses on top of the hill.
Yeah, exactly
it's,
right.
It's pretty neat.
And when you're at the bottom, that you look at them and you go, oh, they're not that big. And then as you're getting closer and closer, you realize how big they actually are. Mm. They're huge and they stand very tall. So, you know, and then when you're up the top there, you feel accomplished because, you know, it's a bit of a hike. But then you look over this breathtaking view that the horses see on a daily basis. So there you go. I don't know how it's going to go against the grotto, but I'm going for my horses.
This looks very beautiful. I want to visit it. However, I've got to go with the grotto. I think it's a little bit more unique.
Oh, of course. Of course you do. Jesse, what are you going to go for, though? You haven't voted yet.
I mean, no. this does – I have never heard of this, but this looks amazing. This is now on my list of must-visit places. But – yeah, I put in the grotto, so I feel like I kind of need to vote for this. But this is pretty darn spectacular, though.
That's all right. I can take the loss. I can take it. But I'm just happy that I've actually been to the ponies, and you two haven't, and yet you're the two Americans, so I'm happy with that. All right, Josh, what's the next one? What do we got coming up next?
All right, we have number 3 versus number 14. I believe this is, I don't know if this is a battle just with you, Jesse, or you and Craig. It's Salvation Mountain.
Oh, that's
number
mine.
3.
That, yeah,
versus the
mine.
World's largest truck stop.
Oh no. No.
These sound like these are two very, very different things.
So, Jesse, last time itself, I did say, like, you know, ladies first and stuff. But you know what? I'm going to go first. I'm taking this one now, Jesse. I'm doing this one. So, exactly.
Go right ahead.
Because this one is a place I have not been to, but I want to go to. And there's a reason for it. Salvation Mountain. It's in California. It is in the outskirts and in the desert area of California itself as well. What it is an actual mountain made by one guy, made by one person. He was a Christian faith, and it's all about how the Lord has saved him and his nomadic life. See, so, oh, nomadic. Oh, he's a nomad. He's a van lifer. Look at that, see? And so what he's done is he's created this little town out there. So the actual mountain is painted. It's all fully, like it's dirt and paint, and it's all roped off now, and there's caretakers for it, because he's unwell at the moment. But what they've done is they've actually built their own city around it. Not a city, but a little town around it that they've got no electricity, they've got no plumbing, they've got nothing at all. They're all pure nomads out there living off the land and living amongst themselves. And it all started because of the Salvation Mountain. So, yeah, van life mecca out there. So that's the reason why I had to choose this one and think to myself, well, you know what? It is a roadside attraction, but technically I probably would now class it as more of a destination, if anything. So, because you go there for that reason and to see how people live as pure nomads. So, yeah, there you go. That's the Salvation Mountain.
Craig, was very this cool. featured in the movie Nomadland?
No. Was this one, this the movie? Actual, oh, no, okay. It wasn't featured in Nomadland, this one, no. No, but this has been featured, though, on several different van life YouTube channels, et cetera, as well. So, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I had not heard of that. That's very interesting. All right. So you have the van life mecca. Mine is the truck mecca. This is the world's largest truck stop. It's off of Interstate 80, just outside of Walcott, Iowa, which is just west of the Quad Cities. It was established in 1964. And the main building now, they've added on over the years, and the main building now is two stories tall. It's 130,000 square feet.
Wow.
That's, I mean, that's huge. It's actually been dubbed a small city, or some people call it a trucker's Disneyland. It serves as like the ultimate one-stop shop. There's eight restaurants, including the Iowa 80 Kitchen that seats 300 people. There's a barber shop. Wow. There's a chiropractor. There's a convenience store, a custom apparel shop, a dental office, a dog washing station, a gift store, a laundromat, a library, a movie theater. I'm not done yet. Showers, a super truck showroom, a service center, 900 truck parking spaces, a truck wash, a gym, a gift shop, a TV den with a fireplace, and a trucker museum.
Wow.
And on top of all of that, they host an annual Truckers Jamboree. 400,000 people go to this jamboree every year. It has live bands, a pork chop cookout, live music, fireworks, and the best part of all, Super Trucks Beauty Contest. I'm not kidding. Look this up. They have all the different criteria, all the different categories, you know, best night lights, best this, best age ranges, the whole thing. Check out these trucks. Trucks is what keeps America going, right? I mean,
I did hear, Jesse, in regards to this one, because again, a few van lifers, YouTube channels have done this one as well, the world's largest truck stop. Apparently, it is a 24-hour, and it has been a 24-hour now since it opened. So it's never closed.
Yeah.
It never closed. Like, it's always had its doors open since the very beginning. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
All right, Josh, you're the in between for the time being. What's your choice?
Yes, I've been to the this truck stop. It is amazing. It is like a city. We've talked about it with Megan from Weird Iowa stuff. I have to go truck stop.
Yeah, I'm gonna go truck stop.
I'm gonna go truck stop, for the reason is that I feel like I shot myself in the foot, because truck stop is a roadside attraction, whereas mine is more of a destination per se. So hence the reason why I'm a rule follower. That's what I am. I'm a rule follower. So next up, Josh, who have we got next up?
All right. We're going number 5 versus number 12. Number 5 is the center of the contiguous, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
United States. The center of the United States versus the world's largest thermometer.
Jesse, you're the center of the earth. So I was gonna pick this one. I did see this one first. I looked at this one. So you go first. You go first on this one.
Okay. I've been there. It is a little out of the way, but it's well worth going. It's the geographic center of the contiguous United States. It's just outside of Lebanon, Kansas, just over the border into Kansas. And so this is how they determined it. Back in 1918, the Coast and Geodetic Survey found this spot by taking a cardboard cutout of the United States and balancing it on a point.
Oh.
So that point where they could balance it, they determined was the geographic center.
Oh.
So, I mean, that was their technology back over 100 years ago. And, you know, now they've determined that this is really only accurate to within like 20 miles. But it was pretty close, because the actual center that they've like done mathematical calculations on is only about half a mile away. It's in the middle of a hog farm. So they couldn't put this, you know, in a hog farm. So, but at this location, they have a huge stone pyramid. It's like 6 or 8 feet tall. There's a plaque. There's a tiny chapel that seats like 6 people. People get married there. There's tons of signs and photo ops. There's a picnic shelter. Of course, there's a cache.
Yep.
Which is what took me there. But also, you know, it's pretty cool to say I'm at the middle of the United States.
I like it, Jesse. I like it. But Josh, I'm gonna appeal to you. This one here, the world's tallest thermometer. It's the world's tallest thermometer, which, and a lot of people don't really know about this one that much as well. California, that's where it's based. It's standing 134 feet in height. It's a roadside, it is a roadside attraction located in Death Valley. In 1991, a successful businessman, Will Heron, paid Young Electric Company, Sign Company, to come up with the majestic, it's majestic, Josh. I know you like those words. The majestic thermometer as a tribute to the world's highest recorded temperature, which is at 134 degrees Fahrenheit. And yes, again, appealing to all you Americans, this one is in Fahrenheit. So there you go. It's, yeah, the top temperature is 134 degrees Fahrenheit. It is a working thermometer. So you can see the temperature up and down as you're going past, and you get photos, and I do believe there is a cache there as well. So just saying. So world's tallest thermometer. And that's my vote. I'm going to go straight in. That's my vote. The world's tallest thermometer. There you go.
Wow.
Jesse.
I'm looking at pictures.
That is pretty cool. I've been to Death Valley, but I did not go this route. So I didn't actually see this when I was there. So that is pretty cool. I'm going to stick with mine. I'm going with the center of the United States.
That means I'm the tiebreaker.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Craig, you're right. Have you been to either? You played to mine. I have not been to either of these.
I know you, Josh. I know you.
But I've looked at the photos.
You like your world's largest stuff.
Here's the thing. I do love the world's largest stuff. I do also love that it seems appropriate that the thermometer is in Death Valley. Mm-hmm. That's kind of quirky. That's kind of fun. If I was to make a video, the thermometer would make a better video, I think. So I'm going to go. And the fact, Jesse, that it the real center is at a hog farm, so it's not really official, really. So I'm going thermometer. Moves on.
Yes,
fair enough.
See, I know Josh. I know what his quirks are. I know what he likes. I know his little soft spots, you know.
Yep, absolutely. And I do agree that would make a video.
Next up, Josh.
We got six versus 11. This is a Jesse versus Craig again.
Okay.
Standing on the corner versus at number six versus the dog bark in.
Oh. I'm now my time to hook Jesse, just saying. Okay, Jesse, you can go first.
All right. So standing on the corner park is exactly what it sounds like. It is in Winslow, Arizona. It's located right along the historic Route 66 downtown. It's owned and by the city. It was made and dedicated in 1999 as a tribute, obviously, to the song everyone loves to hate or hates to love, or, you know, everybody knows the song. And it's just kind of cool. Like, you go there and it takes you back right on the corner. It's a brick patio type area, and there's a bronze statue with a 70s era rock star with his guitar standing in front of a mural. And in the mural, there's a window reflection with a woman driving in the red flatbed Ford. And then, of course, parked out front on the street, there's a flatbed Ford sitting there. And it's really cool. And then right in the intersection, there's a huge Route 66 painted on the road at the intersection. Just
cool.
Kind of fun. Really cool. Great photo op.
Now, there you go. Well, Jesse, you're going to love this one because I know you've got your two little pups and they're running around now for you. This is called the Dog Bark Park Inn. Dog Bark Park Inn. And yes, you can stay there. It is actually an Airbnb. Oh, this is a bed and breakfast, and your bed and breakfast will never, ever, be the same again if you visit this place. You don't have to actually stay in a two-bedroom accommodation to appreciate it itself. So it's located in Cottonwood in Idaho itself. It's alongside the Highway 95. It is a beagle-shaped hotel accommodation, a huge, large, beagle-shaped actual building itself. It is a hotel. It was established as the world's biggest beagle in 30 foot in height. Inside, the rooms showcase decorations of wooden dog carvings and dog-themed decor. But You don't actually have to, if you can't book it, because it's obviously, it's a lot of bookings, you can't book it. There is a visitor center for people to go there itself and get your little trinkets and get your little photos and whatever else as well. So there you go. The size of it is huge, and this whole building is an actual dog. So you can stay inside of a dog, Jesse.
Is it just the one room? Or like just the one? There's not like multiple dogs, right?
There is multiple dogs. There's two dogs in general, but one of the dogs is a smaller version. And now I believe it's the visitor center. And then the one where you stay at is a two bedroom. Yeah, it's a two bedroom accommodation. Okay. So it's large enough. So there you go.
Interesting. I almost put one on my list that's very similar to this. It was a giant potato that you can stay in. And it also is in Idaho.
Wow, there you go. All the Idahos. So, Jesse, who do you choose?
Okay. So we have the world's biggest beagle that you can sleep in, or you could stand on the corner.
See, I'm
as a roadside attraction.
I'm playing a Jesse now.
You really are. You know I got a soft spot for the dogs. I'm gonna go with the standing on the corner. I feel like that might appeal to more people.
Okay. Mm. Well, I'm going for the dogs. I'm taking it for the dogs because I would love, love, love to stay there. So, you know, we can't stay. Josh, you and I, we went to the Christmas Story House where you can stay at the Christmas Story House as well. And I know, Josh, you were like, oh, that would be really cool. So I know, Josh, you would like to stay in this place as well.
We could do a whole episode on creative Airbnb experiences.
Yes.
Groundhog's Day House.
I love that. Yeah. Standing on the corner is a song. Standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. Somebody had to sing it. There you go. But what would make a better video? Probably the staying at the Dog Bark Inn.
Yes.
Again, I can't argue with that.
I like it. I love this March Madness, by the way. Just saying. Josh, what do we have next up?
All right. Now... So these next two are, we go up against the play-ins versus the number one and number two seeds. Okay. So we're going to go the number two seed, Lucy the Elephant, versus the world's biggest ball of paint.
Oh. Well, we've heard the ball of paint. We've heard all about the ball of paint. So now we're going to start moving faster now. Lucy the Elephant. This is mine. It's located in New Jersey itself. It is along the beach in Josephine Heron Park in Margate, New Jersey. It's the world's greatest elephant stand so strong. It's been recently been repainted. And it's very, very picturesque. Josh, we've spoken about this actual one with other, I think it was with Valerie maybe. And you looked up photos, and Jesse, this one here, this biggest elephant, you can actually, again, climb inside of and walk up. There's stairs inside the elephant. But the best part about this, Jesse, is that in the behind part of the elephant, the tail is moved to the side slightly because there's a window in its butt, and you can actually look at its butthole. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yes. It's a great photo opportunity itself, and you can actually, spiral – what do you call it? Climb the spiral staircase in the middle. Definitely one of the weirdest American roadside attractions there is. And as I said, recently freshly painted. And Josh, get this. There was a virtual there. But with the new paint job, it changed all the questions and the answers of the virtual.
Oh, no.
And the CEO of the original virtual from 2002 is no longer playing anymore. The virtual's been archived. So, again, if you've got a virtual and you want to place it somewhere, have a look at this place, Lucy the Elephant in New Jersey, to place your virtual, just saying. So there you go. That's Lucy the Elephant versus who is it again? The paint?
The ball of paint.
Just a bit of paint?
Wow, this is going to get tough. Now, I would say Lucy the Elephant is the definition of roadside attraction, right? And this thing is huge. I'm going to say I haven't visited either Lucy the Elephant or the Ball of Paint, but the way I'm voting on this one is if I had to choose which one I wanted to visit more.
Yeah, or which one to make a better video. I know where you were going.
Yeah,
now.
I'm going to say for this one, I'm going to say the one I want to visit more. I'm voting for the Ball of Paint.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I want to be a record holder. Greg, what are you going to vote
for? Well, I'm voting... it is actually hard, this one, because I'm too would love to be a world record holder. I too would love to, you know, do the ball of paint. However, in terms of the sheer numbers themselves, you have to book in a time, whereas this one here, you can just literally drive across and, you know, and get your photo out the front and keep moving on. I'm going to say Lucy. I'm going for Lucy for that reason. You don't have to actually book a time. You don't have to do anything extra. You know, that's all it is. So I'm going for Lucy. Jesse, it's up to you now. This is a tie.
So I'm the tiebreaker, you know. So I do like giant elephants. Mm-hmm.
That you can look at the butthole.
We do have a giant.
You can look at the butthole. Well,
yeah, that part's not really on my list of things I would like to do. I mean, but I have to go with the ball of paint only because we too have a giant elephant roadside attractive here nearby, but it's pink and it has giant black glasses.
Oh yes. Actually, I have seen photos of that, mm-hmm. and I do intend to visit that one as well. So there you go, Josh. The ball of paint moves on. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Moves on to round two.
Who do we have next, Josh?
This is the final first rounder. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's the Cabazon dinosaurs. Versus mm-hmm. Popeye Town.
We haven't said the dinosaurs yet, so they're yours, aren't they, Josh?
Nope, it's mine. The Cabazon dinosaurs in Cabazon, California. Mm-hmm. This is iconic roadside attraction. For me personally, this is maybe the first roadside attraction that was ever introduced to me as a child because it was featured on the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's where Pee-wee... Yeah. And the French woman or the woman that wanted to speak French sat inside these dinosaurs. And it was where Large Marge sent you.
Yes.
If you remember. These dinosaurs were created in 1965. It's a giant brontosaurus and a Tyrannosaurus Rex. They're called Mr. Rex and Denny. They paint them regularly for the occasion. Like right now, they're painted Valentines. Before that, get this, they were painted like Pee-wee Herman because Paul Reubens passed away.
They painted
the Pee-wee suit on them. There's a gift shop inside the brontosaurus. You can get stickers, t-shirts that says Large Marge sent me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a special place. So
I've seen your video of this one, Josh. It was a fun video, this one too. Large Marge sent you. So you didn't get any copyright strikes, so that's good. But anyway.
No. I'm going with the dinosaurs. Yeah.
And against Popeye, isn't it? The Popeye.
This one's against Popeye?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. All right. I'm going to vote for the dinosaurs. And the reason I say that is because I've been to Popeye. Mm.
Yeah.
And this is awesome. This is really cool.
Yeah.
I think that this is now on my list of places I need to go. Your show is so dangerous.
I know, right? I know. Josh, to make it 3-for-3, I'm going for the dinosaurs as well, purely for the simple reason is, yeah, I do believe this is iconic roadside attraction. If you say what's a roadside attraction, you can think of this in your mind straight away. So, yeah, I do believe. Yeah. I mean, I would love to. I'm going to visit both, but, yeah, the dinosaurs.
And here's the funny thing about it. I'll just say this about this is I visited this location by accident. Because I was staying in Joshua Tree, and then I was going to visit somebody in LA. So I was just driving along, and all of a sudden I saw them, and in the distance, along the road, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, is that what I think it is? It's the dinosaurs from Pee-wee's Big Adventure." So I didn't even. It was not, as per our definition, it was not my destination. I happened upon it when I found it.
Wow!
All right.
Wow!
Very
all right, Josh.
Ready
next
for,
up,
ready yeah, for round two?
Yeah, round two. Now what do we
so, got? Do you want me to go through all the competition and what we have coming up, or do you want to just go one by one?
Let's go one by one. Just quickly. Just
all right.
Yeah.
We're gonna go seed number 11 mm-hmm. versus seed number 14,
which was
the world's largest truck stop versus Dog Park Inn.
Oh no! Oh, this
it's gonna it's get getting, hard, guys.
It's getting hard. It is really getting hard now. I didn't realize it's going to be this hard itself. I mean, you've got, wow.
They're so different.
They are, but you can.
We need like categories.
Both as well. Like, you know, it is.
Yes, this is true.
Well, I'll start the vote, and I'm going to vote for the Dog Park Inn because I do believe that is more town-related in terms of tourism than the other one's very commercial-based now. It's like Buc-ee's, you know what I mean? Buc-ee's are everywhere, that sort of thing, but it's the world's largest truck stop. So would I go to the Buc-ee's and the world's largest truck stop, or would I go to stay in the Dog Park Inn? I'm going to say, yeah, Dog Park Inn for me. Put me down for Dog Park Inn. Okay. Jesse?
I think I'm going to vote for the truck stop. I understand your argument, but I'm going to go with the truck stop.
Josh, it's on you now. See?
Wow.
I've been it's to not the truck fun stop. Being in that seat, just saying.
I know. It's fun. It kind of is fun because you can decide. you have the power, and I like the power.
I know you do.
I've been to the truck stop. It is a city. It has a lot to offer. You can spend a lot of time there. Oh. But to me, the Dog Park Inn is just a little more quirky, and I like the quirkiness factor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Dog Park Inn.
Yes. Yes. I like it. I like it.
So the Dog Park Inn is our first one in the final four.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh.
We're narrowing it down.
Next up, Josh.
All right. Are you ready for the next one? Number four, the Grotto versus number 12, the world's largest thermometer.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, again.
This is fun, guys. Wow. I love this. Wow. All right. I'll start this time. I've been to the Grotto.
Yeah.
The Grotto is amazing. It is really cool. The thermometer, again, it gets the quirk factor for me. It's really quirky. I've never been to Death Valley. I would like to go there. Kind of your argument, Jesse. Like, I've been to Popeye. So I'm going to go world's largest thermometer.
Oh, Jesse. Grotto or thermometer?
I'm going to go grotto on this one. So there you go.
So it's up to me and
a sense of theme.
Okay.
Have you seen pictures, Craig? Have you seen pictures of the grotto?
You did the video. I have, 100%. Yeah, I did the video for you. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I edited your video. I saw it several times, Josh, as I went through and scrubbed through to see which shots look the best, which one's best to color grade. Because I'll say this as well, that the grotto place, color grading that video, Jesse, was fun. It was really fun to color grade that video because the colors are fantastic and there's a multitude and every colors of the rainbow is actually there. But I'm still going for the thermometer. I'm set in my ways.
Wow.
I know. Even though it's in Fahrenheit, I'm still going to go for the thermometer.
I think that's an upset. That's an upset. I was expecting to be the only one to say.
So do I. I think, I think that's an upset. But I want to go to both, just saying. Next up, Josh, we have.
Yeah, I just want everybody to know where we're at. Thermometer is now in the final four. All right, next one. We've got seed number 18, Cinderella Story, people. The Ball of Paint versus the Kaskaskia Dragon.
Oh no. See, this is hard for two reasons. The main reason, though, is because they're both interactive. You both do something at that location for them to actually have an effect on you and your memories and your video work. Wow.
Totally.
Wow. Oh, okay. I'm going to start off with this. And as I said, I've done the dragon. Okay. I know what it's about. There's a geocache there. Not as big a geocache as what is at the Ball of Paint, but I'm going to say Ball of Paint because I want the world record. That's for me. I'd like to have a world record over just putting a coin in the coin slot and getting fire breathed upon you. Mm-hmm. Jesse, what's your thoughts?
I think that I'm going to go with the dragon on this one for the simple fact that. Yeah, the Ball of Paint is, you know, it's a little harder to get to. You do have to make an appointment. There's a little more involved.
Mm-hmm. So these are both my submissions, the Ball of Paint and the Dragon. I have been to the Dragon. I have not been to the Ball of Paint. Oh, it's tough. You're right. It is more difficult. You have to make an appointment. But Craig, I'm with you. You get the world record.
Yeah, you get the that for me. World's that's what ball it was.
Paint.
That's what it was.
Yeah, biggest ball of paint.
Yes. So it moves on. So there you go. Again, see, they're hard. They're actually paint. Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up? What up next, Josh? What do we have? The final four. So down to the last four.
Yeah, we got the Cabazon Dinosaurs again.
Mm-hmm. Versus?
Versus number eight, the Enchanted Highway.
Very similar.
Oh, yes. Similar but different. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll start first. I'm happy to start first. For me, straight up put it out there, Enchanted Highway for me for one reason and one reason only. Well, actually, there's two. The main reason, though, it is the 32 miles worth of just roadside attraction mm-hmm. all the way through. But the best thing about the dinosaurs is they're more iconic, you see. So what do you want? Do you want to see something that everyone else sees, or do you want to see something more – you know, more tailored because you've heard about this on a great podcast called Treasures of Our Town. I'm not sure which one, but no, I'm going to go for the highway. Jesse, your thoughts?
Jesse?
I'm going to go with the highway as well for the same reason. It's 32 miles worth of attraction.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys. I think it's the first time
we've
had the last voter.
Yeah.
I was going to go the dinosaurs. You get to go up inside them. It's more whimsical. It's the definition of roadside attraction. Mm-hmm. I think it's Cabazon Dinosaurs, but I will accept the loss.
Yeah.
The Enchanted Highway.
Enchanted Highway.
Is going to the final four.
Well, no, into the grand final. Isn't the final? Because we're in the final four now.
No, it's in the final four.
That was final the last four. One for the final four. So we have four left. Yep.
So here we are. Okay. These are the four that are left.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Enchanted Highway.
Yeah.
World's largest, tallest, thermometer.
Yeah.
The Ball of Paint.
Oh.
And Dog Park Inn.
Oh. Do I have three right, out of so, the four? Do I have three?
Wow. I have. Wow. Yeah. This is all you guys.
Yes, Craig, you do have three out of the four, which is a little bit surprising to me because when I saw the submissions, I was like, I don't know half of these.
Yeah,
I don't know most of these that you're submitting. And maybe that's why they're in the final four, because you have sparked our curiosity.
I'm playing to my audience.
All right. So let's do the first final four match. It is mm-hmm. the Ball of Paint. Versus the Dog Park.
Oh, wow. This one's going to be hard.
All right, I'll mm-hmm. vote first. I'm going mm-hmm. Ball of Paint. Sorry, Craig.
Ooh, she's back. She's back on
I'm
the
back
ball
on the ball of
paint.
Well, I voted against it last time, so now I like kind of feel bad. I got to give it a pity vote.
Oh. Yeah. So what's Jeeps and that going to say, Jess, about this decision you just made? I'm going to let them know. I'm just let you know.
Jeeps and Roxy can sleep in my travel trailer with
there
me.
There you go.
We don't need to pay there for an Airbnb.
Well, Josh, I'm going to give you again the chance to make the decision because I'm going for the dog park.
Okay.
Because I'd like to stay there.
I would like to stay there too. It's really
that
cool.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, this is tough, but I'm going for the Ball of Paint.
I knew you would. I knew you would. Jeez. Wow, there we go. So the final semifinal, Josh, we
yes.
have the thermometer.
The thermometer versus yeah. the Enchanted Highway.
Highway.
Two very different things.
My goodness, this is
very
tough.
Different. Very different mixes. Very different mixes. Josh, you go first.
I'm going first. It's hands down. This Enchanted Highway looks cool. Yes, it's long, but the thermometer is so much fun. It's a real thermometer in Death Valley. Mm-hmm. I just have a lot more excitement around it. I'm going thermometer.
Wait, yeah. I have a question. Is this like a digital thermometer? Is it an old school mercury thermometer? Or like, what are we talking
it's,
here?
Because okay. it's made by a light company. So yeah,
it looks like a giant.
I didn't
tall
figure
sign.
It was mercury.
You imagine how much mercury it'd take to actually move that thing up. Yeah.
Oh, and then it spills. Oh,
poisons poisons everyone.
Oh, that would be bad.
Poisons the ground. And
That would be awful. Okay. All right. So we have, what now? The thermometer against the highway.
Yes.
I'm going to stick with the highway on this. 32 miles of attraction.
Wow. These are both yours.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to make my decision, and my decision is purely based on one thing, and that is a little bit of, what would you call it, tactic, and that is I'm going for the highway because I feel the highway has got a bigger possibility to beat the
than what the thermometer does. Come on. So, you can't look ahead.
No.
You can't look at the competition.
No. I was going to go highway, Josh. Okay. I was going to go highway. The simple reason is I do like the fact that it is 30 miles long. And you can imagine if you had kids in the back, for instance, in the back seat, and you could just slow down at each one, and it keeps them excited all the way there, So, yeah, that's my choice. So there you go.
Okay.
So in the grand final we have.
This is the final. I'm taking pictures. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at more pictures of the Enchanted Highway. Wow. Yes. It's just like, it is like several roadside attractions.
Yes. All into one.
So we've got.
You don't have to book a time for it.
We've got the Enchanted Highway versus the world's largest ball of paint. Let's see. So the ball of paint is my submission and the Enchanted Highway is your submission. So we should, I just need to ask you right now, Craig, are you voting for your own?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you the reasons why. I think we should have final submissions on this one because it is the finals. Yep. So for me, the Enchanted Highway, the reason why I'm going to the Enchanted Highway itself, number one, is it's in North Dakota, which is a rare state. And would you believe it or not that if you go to North Dakota as your last state and you go to the Visitors Bureau in North Dakota and declare, this is my 50th state that I've been to, or 51 including D.C., but this is my last state across the USA, they give you a special prize. Mm. To make it the last state. Wow. So there you go. In North Dakota only. Not South Dakota, North Dakota only. So it's in North Dakota. So not that many people will attend and go there per se compared to other states. But for me itself, as I said before, it's the length. And the fact is that the people have sculptured all these itself, put it all the way across for the purpose of people like us talking about it and sending more tourism to their whole location, not just to one guy who's painting some paint in it. I'm joking. I can't put yours down because I'd love to go there too. So, but that's my final submission, Josh. There you go. You do yours now, mate. Your
paint. So yes, my vote will be the world's largest ball of paint. Not only is it interactive, not only is it a world record holder, so it checks many of the boxes. Interactive, world record holder. You get your own certificate, and it, similar to the toilet seat museum. I would guess, Jesse, that part of the kitschiness of it is your interaction with the guy who made it. Like the biggest ball of twine, that guy is dead and gone. This guy is still alive. You can talk to him. You can talk to his wife, maybe. I don't know. And you can actually interact where the Enchanted Highway, while it's cool, you're not going to get to talk to the artist necessarily. And I see, yes, many great photo opportunities, but I just think the world's biggest ball of paint checks all the boxes. That's my vote for the best roadside attraction in America, March Madness style. Jesse gets to decide.
Wow, Jesse, it's on you.
The pressure is on. Wow. When you said that these were the last two, in my mind, I thought, I'm going to stick with the highway. I've been riding that out this whole time. It's 32 miles of attraction. But then, Josh, you mentioned the definition of roadside attraction.
Jesse, you voted against the paint marks already.
She's done that before. This is her time, Craig. Let her finish.
Don't you know me? I'm very indecisive. This is really tough. I do love the fact that the ball of paint is so quirky. It's interactive. You can hold a world record. The highway is on my list of places I'm going to go to this year.
So many geocaches along that highway, Jesse, as well. Like the numbers you would grow between you and Scott.
The highway, I'm arguing with myself in my head. The highway is in North Dakota. I actually really like the state of North Dakota. I've been there many times. There's some really neat places to see. It's a beautiful state. Indiana, on the other hand.
But it's more centrally located.
I've been to Indiana. It is more centrally located.
You get a tourism thing if you go to North Dakota for the last day.
That's in Fargo. That's a different roadside attraction. You get that gift at the wood chipper in Fargo. Yep.
In Fargo, that's a neat place too. I think I'm going. I might change my mind later, but I'm gonna go for it. I'm voting for.
I knew you were going that way. Wow. I had three out of the top four, and I'm still coming in bridesmaid.
That's impressive, though. Mine were knocked out early. I thought I had really good submissions, but no, they were duds.
As I said before, Jesse, I think I just appealed to the two of you in two different ways. So that's what it was.
Very true. I've added several more places to my list of must visits. So.
Well, so there we go, Josh. Look at that.
The number one, the champion of 2024 roadside attraction, March Madness, is the biggest ball of paint.
Which can't make another. So the ones we mentioned in this episode, Josh, for 2025, we can't have any of these in the 2025
series. It's official. So we need.
They're all ruled out now.
We need to make this a tradition. Jesse, next March, will you please come on the show and we can do this again?
Absolutely. I will pencil it in right now. No, I'll pen it in.
I love it. Or you could paint it because you are a world record holder of the world's biggest ball of paint. All right. This was super fun. Jesse, thanks so much for joining us. The show is a little bit longer, but hopefully it captured your attention as much as these roadside attractions would capture your attention as you're driving by them. So, Jesse, thanks for coming on the show. Where can people find you again? So it's the Geocaching Podcast. Is there other places they can find you online?
Geocachingpodcast.com is the weekly podcast, all things geocaching related. I also have a very sporadic blog, shortynits.com. My caching name is shortynits. And you can find me on social media at shortynits on Facebook and Instagram are the two that I use the most. Or I think that's it. GCPC and ShortyNet.
Awesome.
Wow. That's cool. That's really cool.
Greg, this weekend. Yes. This weekend you're going somewhere without me. I'm so jealous.
I am.
I'm so jealous.
I'm going to California, Josh. And I'm going to be there for the Munsey Madness events with Rob, the president, along with Lou, along with Craig, the CEO of Freeze Tag, Mari and Tamara is going to be there as well. So that's really cool. So yeah, I'm going over to the Munsey Madness mega events over in California. So if you're over that way or want to come and you're a Munsey player, come and join me. I'll be there.
Even if you're not a Munsey player, you can learn about Munsey.
Yeah. Exactly. You're not coming though, are you, Josh? No, I'm going to try and catch you again. Finally.
I just had too much fun at Bamarama that I can't go another weekend of fun. It's just too much fun.
This is true. You've got to work. You've got to work. So there you go.
So,
speaking of work, by the way, Josh, as well, we forgot. Jesse, you're a Patreon of ours.
Yes, I am.
And we do thank you for your patronage as well. So, absolutely. Yes. And Josh, what if people want to become a patron? How do they do?
Yeah, if you've been enjoying our podcast, if you've gotten value, you learned about the Dog Park Inn. You didn't know about it before. You're getting value from us here at Treasures of Our Town. Consider supporting us. Help us create even better content. Keep it free for everyone. So please consider joining us at patreon.com/treasuresofourtown. We'd love to see you over there.
And so next episode, Josh, we're actually going to go from Bamarama and the Gulf Coast. That's where you and I are going to be. And that's where we're going to be recording itself as well. So how can people actually find us if they want to contact us, Josh?
Feel free to reach out to us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your favorite roadside attraction. And you can follow us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
So that's our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems like the world's biggest ball of paint. See you next time, everybody. Thanks, Jesse, for being on the show.
Thank you, Jesse. Bye.